Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
All right, all right. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing good? Good, good. We are excited to have you today. And a couple things, just another side note. I agree with Mark wholeheartedly about men's giving. What are you going to do? Just sit at home and be weird tomorrow? No. Come hang out. Come hang out. There's going to be a mobile like axe throwing truck here tomorrow night. See, he undersold it. He was like games and fire. And some of you are like, I got games and fire at my house. Okay, but you don't have that. And we're going to, this will be outside. We're going to project the Monday Night Football game against the side of the church, which is not sacrilegious, by the way. But it's going to be a really great time, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. If you thought to yourself while he was doing that, sorry, I'm not trying to do a disappearing act and somebody else come out after me. But if you thought to yourself as a guy, I will do that this afternoon, that's a lie. Just go ahead and do it right now. Go to the website. You can click right there, and we'll have everything prepared and ready for tomorrow night, 6 p.m. All right, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians is where we're going to go today. And I'm excited to get to preach this message. I don't know that I've ever... I'll say it like this. We had planned on doing our Future Fields offering in November. And I really felt like a couple weeks ago, we talked as a staff, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit was prompting me to move it to December. Reason being was I really felt led by the Lord that we needed to have, as Christians and as followers of God, we need to have a better understanding of what stewardship actually is. We don't give for giving's sake. And so you'll see like on social media, if you don't follow Legacy House on social media or stay regularly connected to the website, I would highly encourage you to do so. We make it very public and known, like events and things, everything's going on and happening. The only thing we don't do is send someone to your house directly to wake you up and whisper all the events into your ear. So you will have to look for it, but it's not hard. We don't make it difficult and we don't hide it. You know, it's just going to require a little action. You're like, well, you didn't come to my house, so I guess you guys don't want me to be connected and I'm not coming any longer. That does happen. People do think that. But that's not the case. And I really feel like as through 6 years of the church's life, I don't know, I was telling the staff, this was just the honest conversation I had with them was, I was like, I don't know that we've ever gone into Future Fields really the way that we needed to go into Future Fields. I think it's always been maybe project focused or missional focused, and a lot of times our giving is connected to what role we feel like we can play in the dollar amount trying to be raised. I don't want that to be the mission of our heart. I don't want to do like a biggest donors dinner where, you know, we, you know, wine and dine the top 1% of givers inside of the church, because I think that just perpetuates the problem that is happening in the church globally, which is a small minority is doing the vast majority of giving. And like Mark said, if it's the first thing God has called all of us to, then why is it not first in all of our lives? And so I heard a preacher speaking on this a few weeks back, and he said if we give to God first the way Scripture calls us to, then we'll never not have what we need to give to the Lord, because it'll already have been given to him first. But in that vein, I think that the principle of stewardship is misunderstood. I think the word steward, when we hear the word steward, probably in your mind like it has often been in mine, the first word I think of is money. That's what it means. It's like it's a Christian way to ease me into them about to talk to me about money. Today, we're actually going to talk very little about that, because stewardship is a far broader and a far more significant spiritual principle and foundational principle in the Word of God than just giving. So this is going to be a moment for us. We're going to dive into God's word. We're really going to understand this. So I want you to take some notes, write some things down so that you can learn and grow today. The shop is open today again for the first time in a couple months. There's some incredible new stuff in there. There's notebooks in there for you to be able to like get so that you can take notes and it can be your church notes notebook. Aaron is leading our shop team and is doing an incredible job. So check that out. Some of you maybe have been here and it's not been open since you've been here. Stop by, check it out. It's incredible. It looks so good in there. And she's doing a phenomenal job. There's tons of devotionals in there, all kinds of resources, books that we like and recommend are in there available. So a lot of great stuff. So 1 Corinthians is where we're going to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to preach a message to you today entitled, I Know My Rights. I Know My Rights. I Know My Rights. Even that statement in and of itself, it has a little bit of a, like, authority that goes along with it, right? Anytime you've told somebody that or heard that, there is an emotion that is carried behind it. I know my rights. Like, it is a declarative statement that we make. And we find this in Scripture, and we find it with Paul. And we're going to look today in 1 Corinthians in a couple places, and then we're going to look in Ephesians today as well, about what Paul writes about this topic of stewardship and how it applies to us as a New Testament church. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. He asks a very good question, and he says, am I not free? Am I not free? He says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? He says, if I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, for you are the confirming sign of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who examine me. A great just sidebar for this is if you go back to that last verse, verse 3, go back one more before that. Verse 2? He says, if I am not apostle to others, at least I am to you, for you are the confirming sign of my apostleship to the Lord. His confirming sign, this is important to know, his confirming sign was not just an internal word that he had, but it was the physical fruit that was being produced through his life. The confirming sign of who you and I are spiritually is found in the physical fruit that our life produces. It is possible, I was talking to somebody the other day, it is possible that someone you knew used to be one way, but is now another way. It's possible. It's possible that people change, both for the good and for the bad. But a lot of times we make declarative statements over our lives as believers with no fruit to prove it's who we actually are. Lord, I love you and I'll give you my entire life. Where's the fruit? Where's the confirming sign of that? Where's the confirming sign of the internal decision that I've made as a follower of Christ? Let's keep going. He says, this is my defense to those who examine me. He says, do we not have the right to financial support? He says, do we not have the right to the company of a believing wife like the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Caiaphas do? He said, or only Barnabas? He said, do I lack the right not to work? He said, for whoever serves in the army at his own expense, or who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit, or who tends the flock but does not consume its milk. He says, I'm saying these things only on the basis of common sense. He said, or does this law not say this as well? Verse 9, it says this, for it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. He asked this great question. He says, God is not concerned here about the oxen, is he? He said, or is he not surely speaking for our own benefit? He says, for it's written, because the one plowing and threshing out to work in hope of enjoying the harvest, he says, if he has sowed spiritual blessings among you, is it too much to reap material things from you? If others receive this right from you, are we more deserving? But so pause, okay, because it's a lot of questions. Paul's trying to establish what his rights are as a follower of Christ, as an apostle, as a leader. And he's trying to say, look, do I have the right to this or do I have the right to that? It kind of speaks to the internal debate that we often have as human beings and as Christians of what am I allowed to do? What is my rights, so to speak, as a believer? And Paul sums it up. He follows along in the next verse, the end of verse 12 there. He says, but we have not made use of this right. He said, instead, we endure everything so that we may not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. He says, don't you know that those who serve in the temple eat food from the temple and those who serve at the altar receive part of the offerings? He said, in the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel to receive their living by the gospel. But I've not used any of these rights. So Paul's saying, it's like, I've got the right to do this. He said, it would be normal, he said, for me as a minister of the gospel, he said, to be provided for by the local body. He said, but I'm not making use of that. He said, I'm choosing a different route for myself. He goes on down, look with me, jump down into verse 16. He said, for if I preach the gospel, I have no reason for boasting. He said, because I am compelled to do this. He said, but woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He said, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, I am entrusted with a responsibility. It's so good because Paul begins to help us understand here. And I'm going to just use the whiteboard today. We got a fresh marker, so that's going to be, you hear that tight pull? That's how you know. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. I've got one thing I want you to remember from today. Literally one thing. To help us understand here is that stewardship is everything the believer does after conversion. I'll explain. So when we say this, what we're saying is stewardship is every action that I participate in once I become a believer and follower of Christ. It's to say that if I believe that too narrow of a view is to see stewardship simply as tithe and offering. But the broad view is that it is all my actions. The good part of what Christ is trying to help us understand here, look back in verse 17 again. He says, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, then I have a responsibility. A lot of us have been wrestling with our relationship with the Lord for a long time because it feels like more of a burden and a responsibility than it does a reward. It feels like something I have to do to get into heaven. It feels like something that's necessary, like if I don't want to go to hell. Like, so I'm like, hey, Lord, here I am. Yes, I wore a button-down shirt today. So God, you know, I'm serious about you. Whatever it might be. But we begin to feel like he makes a good point. Where he says, the feeling of responsibility is only produced from a heart that's unwilling. So he's letting us know wherever God, because he says here, preaching the gospel, right? And he's not just meaning vocationally for me as a believer. This was spoken to the entire church in Corinth. So it wasn't just for like those leading the church, but it was for everybody participating in the church. Why? Because we are all have been called to be preachers of the gospel. Can I get an amen? Okay, some of you are like, if I say amen, does it mean I have to do it? It means you have to do it whether you say amen or not, okay? It's whether or not you're doing it that is the real question. We've all been called to be ministers of the gospel. So how are we stewarding our ministry? Let me ask you that question today. How are you stewarding your ministry? Your ministry doesn't mean that you need to set up a blog this afternoon. Your ministry doesn't mean that you have to launch your own podcast or you have to make sure your traveling schedule is available online or you have to become a consultant to churches to really help them grow. That's not what it means. It means that in the sphere that God has placed you in, right? Inside of, you know, let's look at it like this. Often our responsibility is worldly, right? What I mean by that is it is our job, it's the bills, it's running to getting the groceries, it's making sure our kids brush their teeth and don't smell weird. Man, kids smell weird from a really early age. It's just like weird, unidentifiable smells. You're like, I haven't smelled that. What is, it's like a mix between like bologna and Funyuns, like with a slight bit of socks thrown on top of it. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. Kids smell weird. Like, smell weird. And that's a responsibility, right? You're like, hey, I don't want people being like, that kid smells weird. Like, so we're going to take a bath. These are responsibilities, right? They are temporal things. In heaven, you don't have to run to the grocery store. Okay? You're like, are you sure? Like, yeah. Positive. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay your light bill in heaven, right? Like ECUA is not going to come cut off your water in Beulah land if you forget to pay. Like, hey, man, like we know you love God and we know you made it into heaven, but brother, you're still doing the same thing you did down on earth and you're not paying your bill. It's not going to happen. Like those are responsibilities. But Paul says, when I begin to understand what God's saying, when I know what my rights are this. My rights are that everything I do after salvation, it is an opportunity for something that I've been called to steward. Today in here, we are all stewarding many things, right? We're stewarding our money, either well or unwell. That is a why. I just, you know, didn't do that little part. We're stewarding our money. We're stewarding our relationships. We're stewarding our words. We're stewarding our thoughts. We understand that just because it doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't mean it's not inside of your heart. Just because it doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't mean that it's not actually how you believe. But actually, the Bible says that who you actually are is what is on the inside. And if you leave it there long enough unaddressed, it will come out of our life. So the way that we steward the internal things is so important because those internal things will soon be reflected externally. A lot of us think that like, okay, stewardship, this means that like, 24-ish, 25% of our church tithes on a regular basis, okay? So like this is like a low-key way to bump that to like 45. Wouldn't that be incredible? Not really. Why? Because stewardship is something I've been called to in all areas of my life. In the same way that I want God in every aspect of my relationship. Like no one gets married and is like, you know what I'd love? Like 95% love, 5% infidelity. Or like 23% commitment, but, you know, like 77% me. No one would think that that is a number to celebrate. Well, I mean, I only cuss like 23% of the time. Like, I'm a work in progress. Like, it doesn't. We want God in every area of our life, but are we allowing God? So here's the thing. This is what Paul's saying. Paul's like, I know I have this right, but am I practicing this? I know that I say I want God in my relationships, but am I giving him access to my entire relationship? Am I obeying his commandment for my entire relationship? I shared with the team this morning, verse I was just reading at the house this morning, out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14, where the writer in Ecclesiastes, he says this. He's like, look, come to this conclusion. At the end of it all that really matters is to fear the Lord and obey his commands. And if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, you know that it's like line after line, word after word, moment after moment of him being like, God, where are you? What is this? There's nothing new under the sun. What is life? Is it even really worth it? And he's like, he goes through all the scenarios like a lot of us run through in our brain about life. And he gets to the very end and he says, I've realized this is all that matters. It's to honor the Lord, which is to fear the Lord, to honor the Lord and to obey what he said. So in the same way with my finances, with my relationships, with my words, with my thoughts, how have I allowed the Lord to actually take control of that area of my life? Let's continue to read. It says in verse 17, he says, for I do this willingly. He said, it will be a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, he said, I am entrusted with a responsibility. What then is my reward? He said, that is when I preach the gospel, that I may offer the gospel free of charge. So not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. This is important. I want you to highlight or underline this verse here. Verse 19. He says, for since I am free from all, I can make myself a slave to all in order to gain even a few more people. He says, since I'm free from all, I can make myself a slave to all in order to gain a few more. This is why stewardship is so important. Is that because any area that we have, you know what goes often along with responsibility is stress. We're stressing about the bill we have to pay. We're stressing about the holidays. We're stressing about the family you're going to have to see in 2 weeks and listen to them talk to you about, you know, whatever they're going to talk to you about. Like, I wish we could all just record our family's conversations and make a giant compilation video of all the craziest things that get said at our Thanksgiving tables this year. You're gonna hear conspiracy theories. You're gonna hear hot political takes. You're gonna hear things that just simply aren't true. You're gonna hear a lot of passive aggressive conversations. You're gonna hear a lot. But he says all of this that our responsibilities often produce stress. And so he's like, okay, so then what begins to happen? He says that if I am free from all, I can then make myself a slave to all. So any area in my life that I am not stewarding correctly, then I'm not getting to experience the reward of that area. Therefore, I am burdened by it rather than liberated from it. Then my family begins to be a burden, not a blessing. Then my kids are a hindrance to my plan, not a part of the plan. Then purity and then integrity are restraints on my flesh rather than actually a liberation of my soul and of my future and of my heart. It begins to be things that I'm in conflict with. The Bible says that there's a lot of things that are acceptable but aren't beneficial. It's an essence of stewardship. It's an essence of what Paul's saying. He said, there's some things that it's okay for us to do. They're not a heaven or hell issue. They're not a you're going to get in or you're not going to get in, but it is something that is not beneficial for you to hold on to any longer. It is going to keep you stuck in the same mindset. And Paul says, look, I'm free from all so that I can be a slave to all. Isn't that a beautiful, like, it's a weird concept, is that God has called us to liberate. He's given us the ability to be liberated from sin so that we can willingly be enslaved, be a bond servant, like Scripture says, to him again. That I am surrendering my life to him. That I'm submitting my life to him. I want in 2023, submission to authority to be a phrase that we're comfortable with. And that's weird, because we don't like that phrase a lot of times. But a lot of times we've created scenarios in our head of why that's an issue rather than the liberation that God actually desires to give us through it. If you have a hard time submitting to your boss, I promise you, you have a hard time submitting to the Lord. The way that you honor your boss is a reflection in how you honor the Lord. The way that you honor your spouse is a reflection in how you honor the Lord. The way that you honor people you do not know is a reflection in how you honor the Lord. There he comes. I'm just waiting. Some of you are like, oh, hey, Lord, help me right now. In Jesus' name, I'm so sorry for all the things I've done. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me now. Some of you got real scared there for a minute. You're like, well, is it? That'd have been perfect if I had like a wire rig that I'd just begin to lift off the ground right then. You're like, oh, well, it's never coming back. I should have never said that about him. But he says, since I'm free from all, I get to be a slave to all. You know why a lot of us are unfulfilled in our relationship with the Lord? It's because we're still in bondage to things from our past. Let me just say it again so it settles in your heart. A lot of us are discouraged and frustrated in our relationship with the Lord because we have not received and we do not practice the freedom that God has given us through the cross. None of us in here today are waiting on freedom. You're not waiting for God to pull the magic lever so that you can be free from bondage. It's already been pulled. You don't need God to do anything else to be liberated from your addiction. Will it be easy? Maybe not. Is it completely possible? 100%. It's going to require you not doing it alone and doing it with others. It's going to require you being open and vulnerable and honest about where you actually are. It's going to require that sometimes when people say, how are you doing? You're going to have to actually tell them how you're doing. I'm good. No, I'm just blessed and highly favored. You know, windows of heaven just pouring out on. I don't feel like that a lot of times. I don't feel like that a lot of times. There's a lot of times I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what the next thing is. I don't know what the next step is. So in regards to that, how are you stewarding? Or let me say it like this. Has your reward turned into a responsibility? Has your reward, has the thing that God has given to be a blessing turned into a burden? Has the thing that God has given to you to treasure turned into more of an anchor? Because if I feel that way, then the good news is I can begin to look at this and I can begin to realize, okay, stewardship in its most general definition and term is that it is everything that I do. It is every action. It is how I am entrusted as a believer to act in a way that honors the Lord. The Greek word that it comes from it means this. The Greek word it comes from is split up into two words, and they simply are translated as house management. In the Greek, the word stewardship means house management. In the Latin, stewardship was referred to as an individual who takes care of someone else's livestock. It was the steward. It was the individual who was given the task of caring for someone else's animal. They were responsible to care for something that was not their own. We, as men and women of God, have been given the responsibility to care for things that are not our own. Our relationships are not our own. We don't possess or own anyone. They are not ours to manipulate, to keep, to malign, to destroy, to reject. They are the Lord's. They are our only responsibility there is to treat them in the way that God has designed them to be treated. With our money. Our money is not ours to possess in the sense of I'm going to log it away for a day that might never come because it's more important to save than to support. I believe like Julie was saying in her testimony, where she's like, when she was leaving the hospital, and the guy who only had one leg gave her his blanket. How come? That's why the Bible says it speaks clearly to all of our own hearts, because that would be a moving moment for any of us. But yet, as believers, we've become so almost shocked by selfless acts. I think one of the great deceptions of the enemy is to consume your thoughts with your own calling. to consume your thoughts with your own plan, to consume your thoughts with your own future, rather than to be like Paul, where he says, I'm liberated from all of it so that I can be a slave for all of it. I've been liberated from who I used to be so that I can be completely and fully committed to who God has called me to be. Look with me in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says this, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner, for Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me as I wrote before you briefly. He says, verse 4, he says, when reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. He says, namely, in verse 6, that through the gospel, the Gentiles, they are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and they have become fellow participants in the promise of Jesus Christ. He says, I became a servant of the gospel according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the exercise of his power. To me, less than the least of the saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about God's secret plan, the mystery, the things that have been hidden for all ages. It's kind of in a couple ways. If you take these three words, kind of log them away for today. The first, like we said a moment ago, is that word reward. Reward. The reality that God has given me the greatest gift that could ever be given, which is salvation. It is the gift that was free to us, costly to him, to see God do mighty things. The second is found here in Ephesians, which is revelation. Is that stewardship is a revelation. It's a revelation of who God has called me to be, and it's a revelation of what God desires to do in the hearts and lives of other people. It's that God begins to make things known to me by stewarding the things that he has given me well. How many of you realize that you've learned some of your best lessons about God not in a church service before? It's been in a conversation with someone or in a tragic moment of life or where things all begin to collide together and then all of a sudden you have a revelation of how he's cared about you and you never saw it before. Stewarding our life opens us up to a revelation of who God is. Look back again in Ephesians. At verse 10, it says, for the purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly realms. He said this was according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have been given boldness and confident access to God. So this is what is he saying here, okay? I want you to write this down and then we're going to close here in just a moment. He lets us know this. He's like, look, he says, all of these things have happened. I love how Paul starts in Ephesians. He's like, here I am, Paul. Remember me? I'm in jail. He said, and not only does he say I'm in jail, but he's like, I'm in jail for you, Gentiles. Like, I'm here on your behalf. It's important to know that. Why? Because it reminds us again that someone else has sacrificed ahead of us to be where we are. That someone else's revelation of God and their willingness to carry the good news of that gospel to us, and then it creates a reproducing effect in the lives of believers. But Paul said, he says, the purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed. It lets me know a couple things. Number one, you'll never survive spiritually on your own. Log it away. It's not groundbreaking revelation, but it is biblical truth that will remain. You will never be able to last spiritually on your own. The enemy knows the Bible better than you do. He often is more honest about you than you are about yourself. And it's through that that we can begin to see, okay, it is through the community of believers, through the community of his church, through the community of relationships, that we have a revelation of where we are, our blind spots, our weaknesses, and all that God desires to do through this. He says, but now that these things should be disclosed to the rulers and to the authorities in heavenly realms. He said, this was according to the eternal purpose that has been accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have been given boldness and confident access to God. Here's the beauty of what begins to take place in our life. When I begin to practice maybe the best way to say it is like this, really like a kingdom let's say kingdom execution or kingdom implementation of the things that God has given me, then I have been given, then what begins to happen is I begin to find myself drawing closer to the Lord. In the same way being spiritually isolated will kill you, it's in the same way, you can go through almost every step. Withholding the finances that God has blessed you with and not putting God first in our finances, it robs us of the blessing of God. It's not a gimmicky church tactic to try to get you to give more money. We don't have a 1% who gets certain letters and certain details that the rest of the church doesn't get. I don't find that in Scripture. I don't see Paul hosting, you know, the big donors meeting where he's like, look, guys, you guys are the ones who are really floating us here. Everybody else, scrubs. You guys, you got it. Because then you know what begins to happen to that, in my opinion, is that then you have to begin to placate those individuals. When the Bible says that he's created everyone equal, that there is no one, he doesn't discriminate against people, that he's called, it's the same way that if that was such a big emphasis to the Lord, then why did he use the widow's mite as such a powerful story of sacrifice and servanthood if it was all about the size of the giving? It's never been about the size. It's been about the sacrifice and obedience. God doesn't care. If your tithe is literally 10 cents, God does not care. He can use that to take care of his house if I'm willing to be obedient. But I've got to ask myself, am I stewarding the finances that God has given me? It's just, if I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to believe the Bible, I can't overlook what God says about money. Jesus talks about it on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, he talks about money and he refers to it as mammon and how it begins to be a trap that we live for. It's something that well, say it like this. Stewardship is important because stewardship, it realigns whether I am serving my money or my money is serving me. Whether I'm working, thinking, plotting to get this, or I'm entrusting it to the Lord and I'm using this as a tool and resource to advance what God has called me to do. You understand, how you handle your finances is not just because of like, hey, let's make sure that we give to a church. It's that the same things practically that God desires to do in your life, the calling that God has on you, the future that he has for your family, all of those things are wrapped up in how we steward our finances. Same way with our relationships. How do we steward our relationships? How do we handle? How do we care for? I can't grow close to the Lord while continuing to gossip with other people. I can't be like, I'm close to the heart of God, but yet I'm quick to gossip about those that I have some measure of what I feel to be dirt on. What did we say a few weeks back? We don't look for people's weakness as an opportunity to exploit. We look for people's weakness as an opportunity to step in and to support. We should lead the way in culture and in community and in our city of being those who care for those in need. We should be the ones who lead the way. Like, I think it's a great just reminder, and the band can come, but I think it's a great reminder in this election season, before you begin to, here in the Deep South, before we begin to complain or moan or whine, I don't really know a better word, about government programs that we think are a waste of spending, we have to understand that someone then has to step in the gap to care for those who are in need. So it can't be, hey, I don't like this system. They're just handing out money. It's creating the problem. So then are you saying that you're willing to step up? No, pause. Because if so, then actually, you have actually positioned your heart in the exact place that it needs to be. That question shouldn't be to run you away from that. Be like, no, yeah, you guys got it. You know what I mean? I didn't really look at it the right way the first time, but I think this whole program makes a lot of sense to me now. It really, I've got it. I understand. Money, them, you, me not involved, me not my money involved. I get it. Like, bless you guys. Like, what do you need from me? I don't have any money to give, but I do have some prayers I can throw up. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is. It's not that, but like, God has called us as the church. You look back at guys like William Booth, you look back at men who've gone far before us, who've created great movements in their world and in their time. Often those movements didn't take place inside of a Sunday service. That's just the reality. This is for us to grow, be strengthened, to go and to steward the word that we receive and hear, and let it affect our relationships tomorrow, let it affect our money tomorrow, let it affect our words tomorrow, let it affect our thoughts tomorrow, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday. I've got a friend of mine, we've been talking about this, praying about this. I got a friend of mine that one of the things that they've done is they only do 3 Sunday services like this a month. The 4th Sunday of the month, they still gather together, but on that 4th Sunday, they specifically serve an area of their community, a group of people who are in need. They do all of that right there in those moments in the time. And that's, just to be honest, that's something that we're praying about for 2023 is because I asked Mark the other day, we were absolutely destroying Patrick and Mickey on the golf course. And just, yeah. we're undefeated, just so you know. 2-0. And we'll take anybody. But we weren't actually destroying, but we did win. But I asked Mark a question as we were riding the golf cart. Mickey just left the church right there. He got so angry, he just walked out the back door. Bye. but I asked Mark a question. I was like, Mark, are we just dying a slow death? It wasn't like I was having some like existential moment in the golf cart. Like, you know what I mean? Where it was like 3 hot dogs in, just feeling rough. And I'm like, is this just the slow death we're on here, Mark? Is life just nothing about hot dogs and like missed shots? Like, but as a church, God's will be done. We don't have to ever debate that. His will be done. But he's looking for men and women who are willing to apply scripture into every area of their life. Pensacola has such a religious spirit that is demonic in nature. The definition of a Pharisee. And the problem with it is that we've got this plant in our house, okay? It's growing, it's doing well, but the pot that it's in is too small. So that the leaves on it are beginning to droop because there's no more room for the roots to grow. Spiritually for us, a lot of us, because we haven't planted ourselves or rooted ourselves in a community of believers, because we haven't freed ourselves from the bondage of sin so that we can commit and submit ourselves to the authority and the lordship of God in our life, we've stayed in the same pot for way too long. And even though we're still alive, our growth has been stunted. Because we are our own pot. We are self-contained. And so Christianity begins to be an exploration of what I want rather than what God wants for me. My life as a believer begins to be the pursuit of what fits me rather than where God has called me to fit. You understand, often the place God is calling you is not going to have many people who look like you. And the reason for that is because you have something to contribute that is missing in this moment. We can't treat the community of believers like a Kiwanis Club, where it's like, you know, or the Knights of Columbus, or Elks, whatever they are. I don't even think that's a thing anymore. Remember the Elks Club? Anyways. It's not a social club that has an exclusive membership, that like there's no windows on the building, because that's weird, even though there's no windows on this building. No one can see what goes on in here because it's secret. And we go out and try to act as normal as we can outside of these four walls. But it's that, man, I can know I speak for Bethany as well with this, which is scary when I say that before I say what I'm about to say. I know that I believe in magic. She's like, I don't believe in magic. But I know I have a very palpable spiritual discontentment with the state of Christians in our country. So wouldn't it be crazy just to kind of keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result? Like, wouldn't it be crazy for you to start tomorrow just like you started last Monday? Because there's a reward that comes with stewardship. The things that could be burdens, you realize are actually blessings. That job is not something that's holding you back, but it's something God has given you. And not only that, but it's a revelation. The more you steward your finances, the more that you steward your words, the more that you steward your thoughts, the more that you steward every aspect, every action of the life of a believer, the more you have a revelation of who God is. The more you see how much he loves you, the more you see what he's done for you. But all of that is solidified through accountability. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, one should think about us in this way, as servants of God and stewards of the mysteries of God. I want people to think about us first as Christians, secondly as a church, in that way. I want people to define us in that way. What are they about? Well, they're servants of Christ and they steward the mysteries of God. That's stewardship. I serve the Lord and I steward his mysteries. He said, now what is sought in stewards is that one be found faithful. Stewardship is about a faithfulness. It's not about, yes, we have Future Fields coming up on December 18th. The reason we get ready for that is because I told Bethany, I was like, I don't want to list like, oh, we're trying to do this or this. I want us to just pray. Let's take a spiritual position. Because we can all rally around a task. We can all rally around a singular goal. But he says, the method of this, now what is sought in a steward is that they're found faithful. So for me, he said, it's a minor matter that I'm judged by you or any human court. Let that just liberate you today. If you will be found faithful. He's like, look, you know what I am? I am faithful to the Lord. You know what that means? I don't really care what you say. You can judge me however you want. He said, the courts, as an individual who was imprisoned, he's like, they can bring any kind of judgment they want. People around me can bring any kind of judgment they want, but I will be found faithful. He's like, I know my rights. I know I could do other things. I know I don't have to give my life this way. I know I don't have to follow the Lord with this type of devotion and commitment. But you know what? Knowing that, I have still chosen him. There are some things in our life that are acceptable that you might know. Yeah, you could do it a different way. I know that. But is it going to just keep producing the same results? In a year from now, are you going to just be in the same place?
listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.